This program is a community service and is not intended to be a substitute for medical advice. Listeners having questions about their health should make an appointment to see their personal physician. Any opinions or statements made during the program are those of the individuals or physicians making the statements and are not the opinions or statements of the hospital.
This is another edition of Healthy Conversations, the podcast series from Sierra Vista Regional Medical Center and Twin Cities Community Hospital.
Fad diets. Can't tell you how many I've tried with the hope of losing weight quickly, but you know, some of them just aren't that great for you. I'm really excited today to talk with Haley Edwards. She's a lead dietitian at Twin Cities Community Hospital. Haley, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Let's start with some examples of popular fad diets. There's so many that I've tried. I've heard ketogenic, I've heard paleo, I've heard so many. So maybe talk about some of the most popular ones.
Yeah, so there are always fad diets coming around. It seems every decade there's a new diet that's, you know, the current diet that all the celebrities are doing and promoting. So they do change typically over like decades, but we do have some very popular ones right now. Definitely the ketogenic diet has a lot of popularity. As well as the paleo diet, which you mentioned. And then I'm not sure if you've heard of the Whole 30, but that's a rather common one as well. So I'm going to talk just a little bit about those three mainly, just because those seem to be the most popular right now, you know, in social media and amongst the public. A lot of, you know, patients ask me about them. So I wanted to touch on those main three because I feel that they're the most popular right now. So it's interesting about the ketogenic diet, just to start us off. Because there actually are some clinical indications for a ketogenic diet, and it's actually been used for decades in children with epilepsy, and it actually can significantly help to reduce the number of seizures. Now, something to take home, though, is the ketogenic diet, if it's being used in a medical setting for somebody with seizures, it's going to be, very controlled, monitored by a physician, by a dietitian, as well as nursing. So it's something that you do have to be, you know, a bit careful with, and it's something we want to be monitoring. And it really should be used if there's a medical reason for it, such as seizures.
If I can hop in real quick, just to kind of go over a brief explanation of what ketogenic diet is, I've heard that you basically eat no carbs and you put your body in this, what is it called, the ketosis state or something?
Ketosis. Yeah, and so it's actually interesting. So they are finding, though, higher ketosis, it actually doesn't equal necessarily better seizure control. But in terms of the ketogenic diet from a medical standpoint, there's four types. So there's the classic ketogenic diet, which this is typically used for younger patients who might be receiving tube feeds or even infants, and it's very, very restrictive. There's also amongst the ketogenic diet a modified Atkins diet, and that's typically used for older adults and adolescents, and it restricts the net carbs. And it's liberal with fat with meals, and it has adequate protein. Typically, though, it's about 10 to 15 grams of net carbs, and then it can go up to 20 for adults. So very restrictive on the carbohydrates. For those of us that don't know, net carbs are the total carbohydrates minus the dietary fiber. So that would be giving you the net carbs.
You're talking about 20 net carbs for the entire day. I feel like my breakfast had double that.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Well, one serving of a carbohydrate is 15 grams, and that's a slice of bread.
That is insane.
Yeah, so 20 grams would be like a slice of bread plus a half of maybe another slice. So you're not even looking at a full sandwich.
That can't be good for you, right?
Well, and so like I said, I mean, the four types of ketogenic diet that is used for children with epilepsy or adolescents with epilepsy, it can be very beneficial to help reduce the number of their seizures. But like I said, I mean, this is a diet that is very restrictive and it should be monitored, you know, by a medical staff. And then they do have, within the four types, they start to get a little bit more liberalized. And part of that is just for compliance reasons. And as, a patient gets a little bit older, it's a lot more difficult for them to be compliant with this diet because even the modified Atkins diet is a little bit more liberalized than the classic ketogenic diet. And that's, like we said, only, 20 grams of carbohydrates for an adult is very, very low and very restrictive. And then they do have the low glycemic index treatment that can be used. And that is going to be the most liberal of the ketogenic diets. And that's about 40 to 60 grams of total carbohydrates per day, which is still pretty low. I mean, because typically for our patients, who have diabetes, we typically will give them, about 45 grams of carbohydrates for breakfast, and then 60 grams of carbohydrates for lunch, and 60 grams of carbohydrates for dinner. So if you're only having, 40 to 60 per day, obviously that's even more restrictive than what we typically do for somebody with diabetes.
Yeah, what do you say to people that have either seen friends or maybe they've done it themselves and they've lost a lot of weight, which is why, to be honest, a lot of my friends don't do it for epilepsy control. They really do it to lose a bunch of weight, and sometimes it works. What do you say to those people?
Well, so with any of these fad diets that we're going to touch on today, really the main emphasis is the restriction and the restrictive nature of the diet. So by the restrictive nature, you're going to be reducing your caloric intake than what you've been used to. And so if your caloric intake is less than your caloric expenditure in the day, that will promote weight loss. So a lot of these diets, it gets patients and clients thinking about their diet, they're potentially restricting whole food groups, so you're just going to be eating less calories overall, which will promote weight loss. So I mean, with any of these diets, you can see weight loss, but really the core of it is you're just restricting calories, which will promote weight loss.
That totally makes sense. And you could also be on the diet of not eating anything and you would lose weight, but that's not good for you, is it?
No, that definitely is not something we want to do.
Right. So let's move on to another fad diet.
Okay, yeah. So the paleo diet, that one, I've heard a lot of, patients asking about this one as well. I even have family members that ask me about it all the time. And so the paleo or paleolithic diet, you might have heard it called the caveman diet. It really centers around the idea that we eat like our ancestors did 10,000 years ago. And then if we do that, it claims, we'll be healthier, lose weight, and curb disease. So that basically means that foods that can be hunted, fished, or gathered, so meat, fish, shellfish, poultry, eggs, veggies, like root vegetables, fruits and berries, those would be perfectly accepted on the diet. But then you don't want to have any grains. The diet limits dairy and also no legumes. So that would be beans, lentils, and peas. Also, you can't do any sugar on the diet, and you're not supposed to do any salt either, because our ancestors didn't salt their food. Yeah, and so kind of I think the idea behind this and kind of how it became popular is some do blame the agricultural revolution and the addition of grains, legumes, and dairy to the onset of chronic disease. So I think that's kind of how this started to kind of gain traction in society and, our current society. And one of the positives I will say about the paleo diet is that it does encourage the inclusion of more fruits and vegetables, which actually, is going to boost fiber intake. So that's definitely a positive if we're eating more fruits and vegetables. And it also has a combination of plant foods and a diet rich in protein, which, could definitely help control blood sugar. And if you're eating those healthy fruits and vegetables and rich protein sources and plant foods, it could prevent type 2 diabetes. So there is something, that could be a positive. But one of the issues is that grains, they're very nutrient rich and they contain important vitamins and minerals. And they also contain dietary fiber. So by reducing that, you might a little bit be even reducing your fiber intake. And grains and that fiber actually help reduce the risk of heart disease, cancer, and diabetes. So restricting these may not be the best ticket to preventing the disease.
Yeah, it seems like there's benefits and then there's negatives as well. And it's hard because, like I ideally would want to eat like an only donut and bread diet because I love it so much, but you have to have
Right?
that balance of the fruits and vegetables.
You
So,
do.
before we kind of get to the whole 30, I'd love to just hear your philosophy on what people should be doing.
I mean, really, we want just a general healthful diet of, you know, fresh vegetables, fresh fruits, whole grains, as well as lean protein sources. And if you're able to tolerate dairy, you know, that's great. Obviously, there are people who are lactose intolerant, and we definitely don't want to promote milk if that upsets their tummy. But if you do pretty well with dairy products, they have a great source of calcium as well as protein. So, general healthful diet, touching on all those main food groups, and then exercise. I think that's something that we forget about. We do need to incorporate physical activity.
Absolutely. We can't be sedentary, but it's just that balance between the diet and the exercise. So you mentioned the Whole30. That's something that my wife did for a while. Maybe talk a little bit about that.
Oh my gosh, yeah, the Whole30 diet, it is, gosh, you have to eliminate so many items from your diet. I mean, I personally have, you know, I don't promote any of these, so I have not personally done the Whole30, but I was reading a little bit about it, and the amount of foods you have to restrict was so lengthy. I can kind of touch into some of them, but honestly, the list is so big, we would be here forever. But one of the main things is the Whole30. They say basically you do this for 30 days, and it's the emphasis isn't necessarily to promote weight loss. It's more about changing your life and the way you think about food. And it claims that it will change your tastes as well as your habits and cravings. It also claims to restore a healthy emotional relationship with food and with your body. Which is kind of interesting because if you are restricting so many foods, I don't really know exactly how that is affecting your emotional relationship with food if you're being on this very restrictive diet for a month. So it's an interesting claim. Like when I was reading about the claims that the diet, you know, is saying, it seems a little bit conflicting in my opinion. So you know, some of the things that you can't have, definitely no added sugar. Whether that's real or artificial, no maple syrup, honey, or agave nectar. You can't have any alcohol, not even, you know, for cooking. You can't have any grains. So this includes like wheat, rye, barley, oats, corn, rice, millet, bulgur, sorghum. I mean, so many grains. Even quinoa and amaranth and buckwheat, which are typically used for like a gluten-free diet, those would be gluten-free.
So it really seems like you cannot have anything. And with a lot of these diets, a common theme that I'm seeing is even though you might lose weight, you also lose happiness and your relationship with the food, like you mentioned.
Well, yeah, and the biggest thing is this isn't going to be sustainable. So a lot of times what you'll see, I'm sure you've noticed this with your friends, they might have lost weight, and then the second they go back to eating their, you know, normal foods that they were eating prior, they regain the weight. And, you know, big reason for that is these diets just aren't sustainable. They're not easy to follow. The Whole30 is actually, I think, one of the most restrictive I've seen in a while. And just eliminating complete food groups, which, you know, can be dangerous as well. And, you know, like I said, it's just not sustainable. You can't do that for the rest of your life. And it's not teaching, people healthful habits, and how to eat healthy in their normal day-to-day life.
We talked about three diets here today, and inevitably there's going to be another diet that's going to come out. So let's say I am a person that is struggling with weight. I hear about one of these new fad diets and I'm considering hopping on the bandwagon. What would you recommend for me in terms of maybe doing research or looking to a potential dietitian before I start one of these things?
Yeah, I mean, first off, I definitely would recommend going to a dietitian because we are, you know, the experts of nutrition, and we want to give them tools that's going to help them live a healthy life when we're not there 24/7 with them. So we want to teach them these things so they can feel confident that they can do it on their own and sustain a healthy lifestyle, you know, for a very long time.
That totally makes sense to me. And I just want to thank you so much, Haley, for educating us on these fad diets. And I think one of the most important things that resonated with me is there's plenty of ways to lose weight, but there's only a few ways to do that in a healthy way. And it's up to us to be mindful of that. So thank you so much. Is there anything else that you wanted to share with our audience before we sign off today?
No, I just hope that, we talked about some things that will maybe, if somebody listens to this, they'll make them second guess starting a fad diet and come see a dietitian.
Yeah, I know I'm definitely one of those people. I will think twice next time, but for myself or my wife, hop on something. So thanks again. So for everyone else, for a referral to a board certified physician, please call the Sierra Vista Regional Medical Center and Twin Cities Community Hospital physician referral line at 866-966-3680. My guest today has been Haley Edwards. I'm Prakash Chandran. Thank you so much for listening.